Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Verses 1 through 23, all of Matthew chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful, the powerful, and the glorious story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so long ago as a baby. And thank you, Father, for the fact that, again, he always has been and always will be the greatest gift the world has ever received. Father, more and more during this time of the year, stir we your church to recognize, Lord, that Christ truly is that most blessed and wonderful gift, and help us to recognize the need for us to just with passion and commitment be flaming evangelists, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples so that others can come to know Christ and spend eternity with heaven with you as well. We thank you and praise you for this wonderful opportunity. Stir us more and more this season of the year. But Lord, all year long, empower us to be believers who are passionate about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world that desperately needs to hear it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer at this time as well.
Father, we're so thankful that we can approach your throne and that we have the assurance that we have your listening ear. and that you care for us. So, Father, we bring our listening family to you today. This has been a hard year for so many people. We have people that approach Christmas and their hearts are broken because of the loss of a loved one. We pray that you would draw near to them, Father, that they would find their rest in you, that they would find joy amidst the suffering, the joy of Jesus Christ and the great hope that we all have as we approach a brand new year, that you will go with us, that you will not leave us, and you'll never forsake us. We lift high your name today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And during this Christmas season, we want to continue to remind and encourage you to take the time, you along with your family, to read through all the Christmas narratives, specifically Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Just please keep in mind that in addition to the gold and frankincense and myrrh, the gifts given to the Christ child in Matthew chapter 2, there's a lot of treasure, wonderful treasure to be found in the stories of Christmas in God's Word. And there's so many, sadly, that miss out on so much because they don't take the time to spend that time one-on-one with Jesus as he speaks the words of wisdom and grace found in those stories. So again, we're challenging and encouraging you individually and with your family. Take the time to read all the way through them. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2, Luke chapters 1 and 2. It will bless you and your family tremendously. And if you have young children, I would encourage you, let the children do much of the reading. And encourage them to ask questions because, as I've said time and time again, many times children will ask wonderful questions. And often their questions come from the Holy Spirit. They're questions that will bless and encourage the whole family. If you'll take the time, this will be a blessing to you and your family if you'll take the time to do that this Christmas season. We want to continue to remind and encourage you also. If you haven't emailed us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, email me at jparker@afa.net. We continue to challenge every single believer to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer and pray it daily for you and your family. Because remember, in the midst of the dangerous world we live in with all the coronavirus and other diseases and other dangerous things going on in this perilous world, we serve a God that's big enough and great and more than big enough to protect us and help us through these difficult and stormy times. So we would challenge and encourage you. There goes Pete. He gets excited when he hears about Psalm 91. So we're grateful to be able to share the psalm, and I would challenge and encourage you to pray it every single day. I'm going to take time now to pray it through even now. Father, thank you, Lord, for all of us, every believer listening today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, "You are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler." And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to email you a copy of that. Please let us know. We want to encourage you to take it and pray it every single day for you and your family. We are honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Evangelist Leslie Monet. She's the international. Again, Pete's excited because he's heard about the kind of work she does. So we're glad to have her today. And so is Pete. Evangelist Leslie Monet, she's the International Director for the Church of God in Christ Family Life Campaign. Evangelist Leslie, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. So glad to be here.
All right. Great to have you on today. And this is our first time of having you on. And I want to ask if you'll take a moment now specifically to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners about the kind of work and ministry you do with the Church of God in Christ.
Absolutely. Again, I'm elated to be here. Such a wonderful opportunity. My name is Evangelist Leslie Monet, and I do work through Kojic World Missions with the Family Life Campaign, which is sort of the pro-life arm of the church. I came aboard in 2017, and as anyone who knows our presiding bishop, Bishop Charles E. Blake, he loves children, both born and unborn. And he set forth this process in 2015 and put it in the very capable hands of Bishop Matthews, who is the president of Kojic World Missions. And the type of things that we have done, it just blows my mind. We are pro-life to the core. We just did a pro-life resolution for the entire church in 2019. What we're doing is increasing awareness in our community, even in our parishioners. We're engaging our congregations to work with local pregnancy centers. We are engaging people to actually have dialogue about abortion, which is a topic that, you know, is taboo and not really discussed. We're engaging our pastors to preach and talk about this from the pulpit. We want healing for those that are post-abortive, both women and men, and we are trying to connect the body of Christ to come along and engage with us, whether it be in front of abortion clinics, whether it be donating to these beautiful families that decide that, you know what, they're going to keep that child. We're just doing a lot of different things, and we want everybody to know that everybody can participate. So that's kind of our focus. We do have a focus on adoption and foster care, which, in my opinion, you can't talk about pro-life without including those two aspects. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you again. That's a great summary. And it's great to hear the leadership the Holy Spirit has you and the Church of God in Christ family in you're providing really leadership for the body of Christ across the world. Because, you know, I think of this, Evangelist Leslie, that the reality is, tragically, abortion is so widespread that it's said that one out of every three or four women in our nation have gone down the tragic road of abortion. And basically, that means every single congregation is directly touched by the tragedy of abortion. And so what your church family, the Church of God in Christ, is doing is providing great leadership that I would hope that every other denominational family would take note of, because we all need to be doing something. It's tragic to see the widespread tragedy of abortion, and we're in a culture now where lots of, sadly, leaders, both political leaders and leaders and who say they love Jesus as well, who often are advocating, they're saying abortion's okay, and they're encouraging it, and they're saying, I believe in a woman's right to choose. Great deception, extreme deception. Mm-hmm. So the leadership that we see there is so, so great. Father, we thank you for Evangelist Leslie. Thank you for the powerful and the biblical leadership the Church of God in Christ family is providing for the body of Christ all over the world. Lord, open the eyes of more and more leaders in the body of Christ to see the need for us to think and perceive the way this church family has, to see the need to really aggressively address such a critical issue in the world and in our culture. Help us to not be complacent about this very important issue, Lord, to stand up and be counted as you want us to. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Evangelist Leslie Monet, the Family Life Campaign Director of the Church of God in Christ. We'll be right back as she shares more about the mission of her work. We'll be back.
Unto us a child is born.
Music of BB and CC Winans for Unto Us a Child is Born. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Evangelist Leslie Monet. She's the International Director for the Church of God in Christ Family Life Campaign. And Evangelist Leslie, as we get into this segment, you are going to share your own personal testimony that ties in powerfully and very fruitfully with the kind of ministry and work you're doing now. Would you share with our listeners?
Sure. My testimony kind of begins before I was born. My mother found herself in a crisis pregnancy. She already had a toddler, and she was not saved at the time. She was kicked out of her home because she was pregnant again, and she was about 500 miles from her mother, and she asked, could she go home? And she was told, no, you are not able to come home because she was pregnant. Those are the nice and kind words that I am using. However, the words that she got were really hurtful to her, as she explained to me later in life. And she just kind of went from here and there, sleeping where she could, with friends, on the couch, on the floor, wherever she could. And she got to her wit's end, and she decided she would try and get help. She walked into a little storefront, Church of God in Christ down in Florida, and a couple there actually took her in. The church embraced her, and they took her in. She lived with them until she gave birth with me, and then she gave me to them to adopt me. They adopted me, and they took care of me, and they took care of my mom and my older brother for about a year before she left and went on with her life. That's my story, and it's so important, because when I talk to other women about keeping their children and going, staying the course and keeping that baby and telling them how important it is, I am realizing that it was done for me. And so I let them know that, you know, I'm talking to them because my mother did it for me. Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful story. The nuances are just tremendous in the way God blesses us. And every now and then he reminds me of that story. And so I tell it quite often. And I'm just so thankful to be here to be able to share it with you.
Well, praise God. That is a powerful testimony. And thank you for sharing it. So is your birth mom, is she still living?
My birth mom passed away in January 2019.
Okay.
Yes, she passed away. My adopted mother passed away in 93. So I had the beautiful opportunity to love two moms Mm-hmm. And I love them so much. And I want to tell the listeners, if you have a mom that's still with you, please be a blessing to her and love her, because once she's gone, and you just are left with that memory. And it's a good memory. Thank God.
Right. Before we move forward, would you take a moment specifically to pray for listeners? Now, there may be persons listening who even now are where your mom was years ago when she was carrying you in a very difficult place and trying to decide what to do. And of course, there's such a need for believers in the church to learn to love people and embrace them as that church did to love and embrace her. So would you pray for listeners specifically that might be walking through some of these same pathways?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father God, I just come to you, Lord, on behalf of those women and men that are carrying a child, that don't know what to do, that are considering abortion. God, I know that you love them. And Lord, I ask you to help them to make a decision for life, Lord. It may look like everything is coming down on them at one time, but God, just give them, oh God, the mind to choose life.
Yes.
Let someone walk into their life that can help them along the way, that can speak wisdom into their life, and that can help them with resources if they need it, God. Lord, they need you in their hearts and in their spirits, Lord. Just cover them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I bind the enemy that will try and talk to their mind. Lord, I just ask you in a sweet way to just save them. Save them, Jesus. And save their babies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I do thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for the opportunity you've given us to very faithfully and just passionately come alongside persons that find themselves in a difficult place and pregnant as well. Father, more and more raise up the church to be the church of love and compassion and grace that will vigorously reach out to a hurting world, and especially women and families that find themselves in this place. Embrace them, lead them to Christ, and help them to know that the church will walk with them, help them carry that child to term, and whether they keep the baby or place the baby for adoption, help them, the church, to recognize that as we do what you've called us to do, we can help save babies and save women and save families as well. Stir us to be the faithful church doing this that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you, Evangelist Lee, for sharing that powerful testimony. And I believe that's going to bless a lot and encourage a lot of people to begin to more and more see things from a Bible perspective. So now, you shared about some of the great work that and mission work that specifically the Family Life Campaign that you direct is doing. Would you expand a little bit more about, you've mentioned, for example, about the fact that you're helping your people to connect with pregnancy clinics and engage this issue more. Would you expand on that a bit more?
Absolutely. Partnerships. If I've learned anything under the missions department with Bishop Matthews, it's about partnerships. And we partnership with Human Coalition that has about 3,000 clinics all over the country with different names, but very well connected. I started out at a pregnancy center. I heard of the work that was going on through my local church. This was before the Family Life Campaign. My local church is very active in pro-life, and so I decided I wanted to go, and it was a great experience, learning how to counsel, learning compassion, and the resources that these families need. So it is the best process, I think, for people who are just starting out, just getting their feet wet, to go to some of these godly Christian pregnancy centers where you can work in different aspects. So we encourage all of our parishioners through the Family Life Campaign to reach out to a clinic that is close to you and be a blessing to them. Sometimes the clinics aren't close, So you can be a blessing. You can send a donation. And a lot of churches have actually started collecting their own baby closets. They have baby clothes and formula and diapers and all types of things that they collect themselves, and then they administer that to their own communities when there is no pregnancy center really close to them. It's an awesome work.
That's good. That's great. Now, and tell me again the name of your church.
My church is the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, and I'm located in Raleigh, North Carolina. My great pastor is none other than Bishop Patrick L. Wooden.
You know, I've had the privilege of having Bishop Wooden on, and of course, again, in relation to, I was talking, of course, a few moments ago about how much of a great role model the Church of God in Christ as a whole is in really showing the body of Christ as a whole a wise direction to go insofar as seeking to address the life issue. I would say also your pastor, Bishop Patrick Wooden, is a great role model pastor for many other pastors to look at as well. I'm aware that he preaches boldly about this issue, and there's such a need for that in our culture today because there's a lot of timidity and, to be quite honest, cowardice around the life issue. And your pastor, Bishop Wooden, preaches boldly about this issue in such a way. He preaches with love, but boldly about it in a way where people can clearly hear the truth and know what God would have them to do. So, again, in a number of ways, you all just are great role models, so praise the Lord for that. So your church is very supportive of the work you do as well, then?
Yes, absolutely. We have our own little, you know, account where if someone needs something, we're working with someone, we're able to help them. We also have a huge resource list. There are a lot of community efforts that are trying to help women and children and these small families to help them even with mundane, everyday things that they need help with. Sometimes when you're out there at the clinic, you'll get someone because as a church, we not only provide our monetary resources, we have a group of warriors that go to the abortion clinic around town and they come out and they tell these women and sometimes men that they can make it. And it may be something small that they feel like they need, and we're here to help them and offer. And if we can't, we get along with other ministries that are out there on the field, and we come together and we humbly offer resources to these women. Sometimes they need it, and in many cases, I've worked with many women. Many times they don't even need it. They just needed the love. Mm-hmm. They just needed to know that this was the right thing to do to keep their baby. They just needed to make the decision that, you know what, because people are pressuring me and people are pushing people into these clinics, they needed to see somebody that was on their side that could say, you know what, you can make it. You can keep your baby. Because there's a narrative out there that everybody that's going to the abortion clinic is single, unmarried, many kids, uneducated, and these things are just not true. We have married couples that come there. We have people from every demographic, women that are hurting, some women that are being made to have an abortion. This works hand in hand with sex trafficking. So we need to be educated and not fall into the narratives of what people need when they go to the clinic. We know the number one thing that they need, and that's Jesus. They need the perspective of God and how he feels about life, and the church is here to do it.
Well, that's good. And, you know, you've touched on some very important issues for believers to be mindful of is that so oftentimes you're dealing with issues related to, just yesterday we had a guest dealing with sex trafficking, which is a big tragedy in our culture as well. So we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Evangelist Leslie Monet. She's the International Director for the Church of God in Christ Family Life Campaign. We'll be right back. Music of Casting Crowns. Gloria, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Evangelist Leslie Monet. She's the International Director for the Church of God in Christ Family Life Campaign. And let's be sure, Evangelist Leslie, would you take time now specifically to mention your website? If someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your ministry, how can they do that?
Yes, they could definitely go to KojicWorldMissions.org, or they could go straight to the FamilyLifeCampaign.org, or they could find us through the Kojic.org website and just go to the missions department.
Okay, all righty then. And I want to ask if you'll take time specifically now, pray for listeners and for the body of Christ as a whole to really catch a vision for the heart of God and really becoming aggressive about getting involved with this issue. You know, too often I think you have believers that say, well, I don't think I'm called to this kind of ministry. Well, the fact is, in a world where people think it's okay to slaughter babies, every believer should be asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because God really does have work for all of us to do. It will often include prayer and other outreaches and opportunities as well, but pray for listeners to really aggressively find out what God wants them to do to help address this issue.
Amen. Father, God, we just thank you for this opportunity to pray to you. God, we just come to you on behalf of your body. Lord, just stir us up. God, let our heart break for what your heart breaks for, God. And it's these little babies, Lord. God, touch us in a mighty way. Help us to be bold, oh God. Help us to, if we don't know about what's going on in this world, this abortion industry, help us to research. Help us to find out what's going on, who it affects, why we're being targeted, Lord, even as an African-American community. Lord, help us to find ways to enhance our ministries by taking on a pro-life approach, by, Lord, letting you use us in the very thing that we do all the time, oh God, which is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can find pro-life all over the Bible. We see, oh God, that this is an issue that you are so close to, Lord, because this is your creation, for you have created this entire world and those that live within it. God, these little babies, they are voices that can't be heard, but we can be a voice for the voiceless. God, show us what we can do to be effective in our ministry, how we can participate with pregnancy centers, how we can reach out to our youth, oh God. Oh God, how we can reach out to our young people, oh God, and help us turn this culture of death to life. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the people that they will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and hearts, oh God, that will break for these little children and the mothers and the post-aborted women and men. In the name of Jesus, just help us, oh God, to open our eyes and see and do the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Leslie. Real briefly, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, a short passage that's very familiar, but it's also part of the Christmas story, begins at specifically verse 39 in Luke 1. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Verses 39 to 45, Luke chapter 1. And you know, Evangelist Leslie, I think of this, that in a powerful, powerful way, we see the life issue is tied up just tremendously in the Christmas story. Here, these two women who find themselves pregnant, both in unique circumstances, but in many ways would be classified as two crisis pregnancies. Yet the Spirit of God was with them, and God walked with them and worked in their lives in some wonderful ways. And I think it's a reminder to every believer that life is so precious and important. Here, the life of the Messiah and the life of John the Baptist's forerunner here in the Christmas story. And may it be a tool that the Holy Spirit will use to stir us to recognize the great importance of this area of ministry for the church to embrace and get involved with. So now you did one, you also, there was something you were going to share with us about the tragic history behind it, but this project that was called the Negro Project. There was something you wanted to share with us about that.
Absolutely. Well, praise God, Pastor. I just got caught up because we're in the same spirit. I was going to talk about three stages of human existence, and Luke 1 and 41 was right on target. Okay. So I'll start there.
Okay.
The three stages of human existence that we see in the Word of God, that God shows us, is one, we are in the mind of God, Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before we were even born, we were in the mind of God. So he loves us and has purpose for us and has already put that purpose to work before we're even conceived. Number two, we are conceived in the womb. Luke 1 and 41, you just talked about the baby leaping, and that is truly a blessed event. And then three, we're birthed, and we see that all through the Bible, from human existence, from birth to death. So it was so on time that you mentioned that. Now, yes, about this Negro Project, this was in 1939. We're talking about Margaret Sanger and how she implemented the Birth Control Federation of America, which is now Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion provider in the United States and globally. And so we're in a uproar. There's unrest all around, especially in our nation when it comes to racism. And if we really think about it, we have erased 20 million black people, 60 million, over 60 million and counting. This vision that she had for the Negro Project used people like pastors, And that's what I wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. We're in a day and a time where leaders and people who say they love God are saying that they find that they can reconcile abortion with their faith.
Hmm.
And that is not in the Bible. We can never find that in the Bible because it's antithetical to the Bible. God mm-hmm. is a God of life. God is pro-life.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's a powerful truth to really look at. And there's such a need, you know, one of the issues really is that there's such a need for people to really be disciples in the way we see and follow the Word of God. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to apply it to the details of your life. We're called to be hearers and doers of God's Word. And sadly, there are too many that say they love Jesus, but on the other hand, they'll support the tragedy of abortion. Abortion, sadly, is another word for murder. It's taking the life of an innocent baby, yet many would cringe at the thought of calling it murder, but that's exactly what it is. And the reality is we serve a God that he tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Certainly God will forgive that sin, but he doesn't want us to keep going down that road because these are God's babies. They belong to him.
Yeah.
He entrusts them to us, but they're his babies, his children that he created. And it's critical that we see things from God's point of view. And God's word is his point of view. God's word is God's opinion. Nobody else's opinion counts. It's only the word of God mm-hmm. that we're to be guided by. So a powerful point that you make there. So, well, in the last few minutes of our time, would you share further ways? You've mentioned, for example, that you're helping people to both connect with working or connecting to the work of pregnancy clinics, as well as you're challenging people to actually go out and to do ministry at the abortion clinics as well. And so you've had significant participation in that from different churches then?
Yes, absolutely. Here locally, every Saturday is that work's being done. We are going to the abortion clinic. Some are going even further out, you know, we're trying to cover what we call our triangle, which is Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and the surrounding areas. But all across North Carolina, there's a ministry called Love Life. Mm-hmm. If you are close to Charlotte or Greensboro, you can participate with them. They have an awesome process. There are churches that are going out, different communities that are going out. And I'd like to say that prayer is necessary. It's absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just go for 1 hour, you don't have to engage with anyone. You can just lift your eyes to heaven. You can just talk to God on the behalf of someone that is going through one of the hardest things that they are doing in their life. Sometimes we do not win them. They mm-hmm. decide to have the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to go in and dismantle this beautiful life. And sometimes the minute that they do it, they are convicted, and they need prayer afterwards also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also before and after ministry. So if you don't really want to engage, because I find a lot of people don't want to engage, they just want to pray. But they need to see us there, especially mm-hmm. African-American men and women. We need to be there because the people that are going into the clinic are usually us. I can be there on any Saturday, and if it's 20 women that go in, 15 of them are African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't want to engage, it's a great opportunity. Another opportunity is to look within your family, look within your church. Look within your community and find someone that may be struggling to take care of their children. Because a lot of times when women go, one of the reasons is I already have kids and I need this and I need that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can show them how to, not only just give, but show them how to. One of the greatest things that have come out of this for me personally is the relationship that I have made with people that they needed a mother. That's really what they needed at the time. They need a godly wisdom. They need somebody to hug them and hold them and tell them, you know what, it's going to be all right. I'm going to walk through this with you. We're not just there for the beginning of life and here's the baby shower. No, this is a lifelong discipleship, if you will, with these women and men to make them strong. And next thing you know, we've passed the mantle on to them, and they're out there, and they are reaching the next woman and the next baby. So it's a powerful tool for ministry.
That's good. Share your website one more time.
Website is familylifecampaign.org or KojicWorldMissions.org.
All right. Evangelist Leslie, thank you so much for being with us, and keep up the great work, okay?
Absolutely. To God be the glory.
All right. And we encourage every single listener, pray much for Evangelist Leslie Monet and the Ministry of the Family Life Campaign that's a part of the outreach of the Church of God in Christ. May God continue to greatly, richly bless that ministry. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.